Right now on VFN TV, we're going to be joining President Trump as he wraps up his five Asia country tour in the Pacific with a speech there at the APEC summit in Vietnam, as well as addressing the ASEAN organization in the Philippines. All happening right now on VFN TV.
Well, Donald Trump has expressed to the committee, the faith-based committee that he has expanded on, that by the time he leaves office, he wants to be remembered as the most praying president in history.
We invite all Americans to join us as we continue to pray for those who have lost family members and friends, and for those who are suffering from this great crisis. We're going to be signing a day of prayer.
Mr. President, I think it goes without saying that in a moment like this, we all come together as Americans. We all bow to Almighty God. We ask for His grace and His mercy over those who are affected. And most of all, Mr. President, we thank you for acknowledging that ultimately it is God who is the source of our unity as Americans. And I thank you for issuing this proclamation. Thank you.
It's been called the most evangelical cabinet in history. Men and women who don't mince words when it comes to where they stand on God and the Bible.
Has this been done before in a cabinet formally?
I don't think there's been a cabinet Bible study in America in at least 100 years.
The seat of evil is going to come down and the seat of the righteous is going to rise. I mean, God wants to bring down the evildoer, but we have to begin to cry out and turn our hearts to Him.
You know, the last day's language of the Holy Spirit is dreams. He said, well, it was just a dream. Just a dream. Who knows what angels had to fight through to break into your world, to give you their thoughts, and you just say it's just a dream. I think the church needs to stop saying it's just a dream.
If the righteous many do not confront the wicked few, then evil will triumph.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in a few minutes is Steve Kalaszewski. Well, we're joining President Trump. We're tracking with him on the five-country Asian tour. Truly a historic, historic trip. If you know, he started his trip in Japan, where he met with the Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. From Japan, he went all the way to South Korea and spoke at the National Assembly and really put North Korea on notice. And then from South Korea, he went to China to meet with Jinping as they talked about some of the things involving North Korea as well as the economy. And from China, he went all the way to Vietnam. And that's where we're going to be joining President right now as he speaks to APEC at a CEO summit. This is an amazing opportunity because here, you know, it wasn't too long ago we were actually at war with Vietnam. And now we're actually friends and we're actually trading partners. But in these remarks, he really begins to start talking about how trade is going to be different on his watch. And now he is no longer going to be able to take our intellectual property being stolen, that these trade deficits are going to be balanced out, and that he unapologetically is going to put America first. This is amazing because he lets Asia know that the whole world basically is being blessed with this renewal of our economy in the United States. If you did not know, in the first 9 months of President Trump's administration, the stock market broke record highs 61 times. One of the last GDP reports, they were up 3.2%, and unemployment has been down. Has been the lowest in 17 months. So the economy has changed and it's getting better every day. And President Trump is not just the chief diplomat of the country, but he's also in these Asian countries cutting deals and balancing out these trade deficits. We're going to join him right now at the APEC summit as he addresses the CEOs and lays out the agenda for trading in the future. Watch this.
What an honor it is to be here in Vietnam, in the very heart of the Indo-Pacific, to address the people and business leaders of this region. This has already been a remarkable week for the United States in this wonderful part of the world. Starting from Hawaii, Melania and I traveled to Japan, South Korea, and China, and now to Vietnam to be here with all of you today. Before we begin, I want to address all those affected by Typhoon Damre. Americans are praying for you and for your recovery in the months ahead. Our hearts are united with the Vietnamese people suffering in the aftermath of this terrible storm. This trip comes at an exciting time for America. A new optimism has swept all across our country. Economic growth has reached 3.2% and going higher. Unemployment is at its lowest level in 17 years. The stock market is at an all-time high. And the whole world is lifted by America's renewal. Everywhere I've traveled on this journey, I've had the pleasure of sharing the good news from America. But even more, I've had the honor of sharing our vision for a free and open Indo-Pacific, a place where sovereign and independent nations with diverse cultures and many different dreams can prosper side by side and thrive in freedom and in peace. I am so thrilled to be here today at APEC because this organization was founded to help achieve that very purpose. America stands as a proud member of the community of nations who make a home on the Pacific. We have been an active partner in this region since we first won independence ourselves. In 1784, the first American ship sailed to China from the newly independent United States. It went loaded with goods to sell in Asia, and it came back full of porcelain and tea. Our first president, George Washington himself, owned a set of tableware from that ship. In 1804, Thomas Jefferson sent the explorers Lewis and Clark on an expedition to our Pacific coast. They were the first of the millions of Americans who ventured west to live out America's manifest destiny across our vast continent. In 1817, our Congress approved the first full-time Pacific development of an American warship. That initial naval presence soon grew into a squadron, then a fleet, to guarantee freedom of navigation for the growing number of ships, braving the high seas to reach markets in the Philippines, Singapore, and in India. In 1818, we began our relationship with the Kingdom of Thailand. And 15 years later, our two countries signed a treaty of friendship and commerce, our first with an Asian nation. In the next century, when imperialist powers threatened this region, the United States pushed back at great cost to ourselves. We understood that security and prosperity depended on it. We have been friends, partners, and allies in the Indo-Pacific for a long, long time. And we will be friends, partners, and allies for a long time to come. As old friends in the region, No one has been more delighted than America to witness, to help, and to share in the extraordinary progress you have made over the last half century. What the countries and economies represented here today have built in this part of the world is nothing short of miraculous. The story of this region in recent decades is the story of what is possible when people take ownership of their future. Few would have imagined just a generation ago that leaders of these nations would come together here in Da Nang to deepen our friendships, expand our partnerships, and celebrate the amazing achievements of our people. This city was once home to an American military base in a country where many Americans and Vietnamese lost their lives in a very bloody war. Today, we are no longer enemies. We are friends. And this port city is bustling with ships from all around the world. Engineering marvels like the Dragon Bridge welcome the millions who come to visit Da Nang's stunning beaches, shining lights, and ancient charms. In the early 1990s, nearly half of Vietnam survived on just a few dollars a day, and one in four did not have any electricity. Today, an opening Vietnamese economy is one of the fastest growing economies on earth. It has already increased more than 30 times over, and the Vietnamese students rank among the best students in the world. And that is very impressive. This is the same story of incredible transformation that we have seen across the region. Indonesians for decades have been building domestic and democratic institutions to govern their vast chain of more than 13,000 islands. Since the 1990s, Indonesia's people have lifted themselves from poverty to become one of the fastest growing nations of the G20. Today, it is the third largest democracy on earth. The Philippines has emerged as a proud nation of strong and devout families. For 11 consecutive years, the World Economic Forum has ranked the Philippines first among Asian countries in closing the gender gap and embracing women leaders in business and in politics. The Kingdom of Thailand has become an upper-middle-income country in less than a generation. Its majestic capital of Bangkok is now the most visited city on earth. And that is very impressive. Not too many people here from Thailand. Malaysia has rapidly developed through recent decades, and it is now ranked as one of the best places in the world to do business. In Singapore, citizens born to parents who survived on $500 a day are now among the highest earners in the world, a transformation made possible by the vision of Lee Kuan Yew's vision of honest governance and the rule of law. And his great son is now doing an amazing job. As I recently observed in South Korea, the people of that republic took a poor country ravaged by war and in just a few decades turned it into one of the wealthiest democracies on earth. Today, South Koreans enjoy higher incomes than the citizens of many European Union countries. It was great spending time with President Moon. Everyone knows of China's impressive achievements over the past several decades. During this period, and it was a period of great market reforms, large parts of China experienced rapid economic growth. Jobs boomed, and more than 800 million citizens rose out of poverty. I just left China this morning and had a really productive meeting and a wonderful time with our gracious host, President Xi. And as I saw on my first stop of this trip, in Japan, we see a dynamic democracy in a land of industrial, technological, and cultural wonders. In fewer than 60 years, that island nation has produced 24 Nobel Prize winners for achievements in physics, chemistry, medicine, literature, and the promotion of peace. President Abe and I agree on so much. In the broader region, countries outside of APEC are also making great strides in this new chapter for the Indo-Pacific. India is celebrating the 70th anniversary of its independence. It is a sovereign democracy, as well as, think of this, over 1 billion people. It's the largest democracy in the world. Since India opened its economy, it has achieved astounding growth and a new world of opportunity for its expanding middle class. And Prime Minister Modi has been working to bring that vast country and all of its people together as one. And he is working at it very, very successfully indeed. As we can see in more and more places throughout this region, citizens of sovereign and independent nations have taken greater control of their destinies and unlocked the potential of their people. They pursued vision of justice and accountability, promoted private property and the rule of law, and embraced systems that value hard work and individual enterprise. They built businesses. They built cities. They built entire countries from the ground up. Many of you in this room have taken part in these great uplifting national projects of building. They have been your projects from inception to completion, from dreams to reality. With your help, this entire region has emerged, and it is still emerging, as a beautiful constellation of nations, each its own bright star, satellites to none, and each one a people, a culture, a way of life, and a home. Those of you who have lived through these transformations understand better than anyone the value of what you have achieved. You also understand that your home is your legacy, and you must always protect it. In the process of your economic development, you've sought commerce and trade with other nations and forged partnerships based on mutual respect and directed toward mutual gain. Today, I am here to offer renewed partnership with America, to work together to strengthen the bonds of friendship and commerce between all of the nations of the Indo-Pacific, and together to promote our prosperity and security. At the core of this partnership, we seek robust trade relationships rooted in the principles of fairness and reciprocity. When the United States enters into a trading relationship with other countries or other peoples, we will, from now on, expect that our partners will faithfully follow the rules just like we do. We expect that markets will be open to an equal degree on both sides, and that private industry, not government planners, will direct investment. Unfortunately, for too long and in too many places, the opposite has happened. For many years, the United States systematically opened our economy with few conditions. We lowered or ended tariffs, reduced trade barriers, and allowed foreign goods to flow freely into our country. But while we lowered market barriers, other countries didn't open their markets to us.
This is so encouraging because the president is laying out his future agenda for how he wants other countries to relate to our country in terms of trading. He is making sure that this is fair and balanced. We're going to take a break. We get right back from the break. You're going to hear more about these details as well as the president at the ASEAN summit in the Philippines. Join us. We get right back from this break.
TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFNTV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFNTV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there. You can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFNTV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me in the studio is Steve Kalishevsky, and let's join the president at APEC Summit in Vietnam.
Countries were embraced by the World Trade Organization, even if they did not abide by its stated principles. Simply put, we have not been treated fairly by the World Trade Organization. Organizations like the WTO can only function properly when all members follow the rules and respect the sovereign rights of every member. We cannot achieve open markets if we do not ensure fair market access. In the end, unfair trade undermines us all. The United States promoted private enterprise, innovation, and industry. Other countries use government-run industrial planning and state-owned enterprises. We adhere to WTO principles on protecting intellectual property and ensuring fair and equal market access. They engaged in product dumping, subsidized goods, currency manipulation, and predatory industrial policies. They ignored the rules to gain advantage over those who followed the rules, causing enormous distortions in commerce and threatening the foundations of international trade itself. Such practices, along with our collective failure to respond to them, hurt many people in our country and also in other countries. Jobs, factories, and industries were stripped out of the United States and out of many countries in addition. And many opportunities for mutually beneficial investments were lost because people could not trust the system. We can no longer tolerate these chronic trade abuses, and we will not tolerate them. Despite years of broken promises, we were told that someday soon everyone would behave fairly and responsibly. People in America and throughout the Indo-Pacific region have waited for that day to come. But it never has, and that is why I'm here today, to speak frankly about our challenges and work toward a brighter future for all of us. I recently had an excellent trip to China, where I spoke openly and directly with President Xi about China's unfair trade practices and the enormous trade deficits they have produced with the United States. I expressed our strong desire to work with China to achieve a trading relationship that is conducted on a truly fair and equal basis. The current trade imbalance is not acceptable. I do not blame China or any other country, of which there are many, for taking advantage of the United States on trade. If their representatives are able to get away with it, they are just doing their jobs. I wish previous administrations in my country saw what was happening and did something about it. They did not, but I will. From this day forward, we will compete on a fair and equal basis. We are not going to let the United States be taken advantage of anymore. I am always going to put America first, the same way that I expect all of you in this room to put your countries first. The United States is prepared to work with each of the leaders in this room today to achieve mutually beneficial commerce that is in the interests of both your countries and mine. That is the message I am here to deliver. I will make bilateral trade agreements with any Indo-Pacific nation that wants to be our partner and that will abide by the principles of fair and reciprocal trade. What we will no longer do is enter into large agreements that tie our hands, surrender our sovereignty, and make meaningful enforcement practically impossible. Instead, we will deal on a basis of mutual respect and mutual benefit. We will respect your independence and your sovereignty. We want you to be strong, prosperous, and self-reliant, rooted in your history, and branching out toward the future. That is how we will thrive and grow together in partnerships of real and lasting value. But for this, and I call it the Indo-Pacific dream. If it's going to be realized, we must ensure that all play by the rules, which they do not right now. Those who do will be our closest economic partners. Those who do not can be certain that the United States will no longer turn a blind eye to violations, cheating, or economic aggression. Those days are over. We will no longer tolerate the audacious theft of intellectual property. We will confront the destructive practices of forcing businesses to surrender their technology to the state and forcing them into joint ventures in exchange for market access. We will address the massive subsidizing of industries through colossal state-owned enterprises that put private competitors out of business, happening all the time. We will not remain silent as American companies are targeted by state-affiliated actors for economic gain, whether through cyber attacks, corporate espionage, or other anti-competitive practices. We will encourage all nations to speak out loudly when the principles of fairness and reciprocity are violated. We know it is in America's interest to have partners throughout this region that are thriving, prosperous, and dependent on no one. We will not make decisions for the purpose of power or patronage. We will never ask our partners to surrender their sovereignty, privacy, and intellectual property, or to limit contracts to state-owned suppliers. We will find opportunities for our private sector to work with yours and to create jobs and wealth for us all. We seek strong partners, not weak partners. We seek strong neighbors, not weak neighbors. Above all, we seek friendship, and we don't dream of domination. For this reason, we are also refocusing our existing development efforts. We are calling on the World Bank and the Asian Development Bank to direct their efforts toward high-quality infrastructure investment that promotes economic growth. The United States will also do its part. We are also committed to reforming our development finance institutions so that they better incentivize private sector investment in your economies and provide strong alternatives to state-directed initiatives that come with many strings attached. The United States has been reminded time and time again in recent years that economic security is not merely related to national security. Economic security is national security. It is vital. To our national strength. We also know that we will not have lasting prosperity if we do not confront grave threats to security, sovereignty, and stability facing our world today. Earlier this week, I addressed the National Assembly in Seoul, South Korea, and urged every responsible nation to stand united in declaring that every single step the North Korean regime takes toward more weapons is a step it takes into greater and greater danger. The future of this region and its beautiful people must not be held hostage to a dictator's twisted fantasies of violent conquest and nuclear blackmail. In addition, we must uphold principles that have benefited all of us, like respect for the rule of law, individual rights, and freedom of navigation and overflight, including open shipping lanes. Three principles, and these principles create stability and build trust, security, and prosperity among like-minded nations. We must also deal decisively with other threats to our security and the future of our children, such as criminal cartels, human smuggling, drugs, corruption, cybercrime, and territorial expansion. As I have said many times before, all civilized people must come together to drive out terrorists and extremists from our societies, stripping them of funding, territory, and ideological support. We must stop radical Islamic terrorism. So let us work together for a peaceful, prosperous, and free Indo-Pacific. I am confident that together, every problem we have spoken about today can be solved and every challenge we face can be overcome. If we succeed in this effort, if we seize the opportunities before us and ground our partnerships firmly in the interests of our own people, then together we will achieve everything we dream for our nations and for our children. We will be blessed with a world of strong, sovereign, and independent nations, thriving in peace and commerce with others. They will be places where we can build our homes and where families, businesses, and people can flourish and grow. If we do this, we will look at the globe half a century from now, and we will marvel at the beautiful constellation of nations, each different, each unique, and each shining brightly and proudly throughout this region of the world. And just as when we look at the stars in the night sky, the distance of time will make most of the challenges we have and that we spoke of today seem very, very small. What will not seem small, what is not small, will be the big choices that all of our nations will have to make to keep their stars glowing very, very brightly. In America, like every nation that has won and defended its sovereignty, we understand that we have nothing so precious as our birthright, our treasured independence, and our freedom. That knowledge has guided us throughout American history. It has inspired us to sacrifice and innovate. And it is why today, hundreds of years after our victory in the American Revolution, we still remember the words of an American founder and our second president of the United States, John Adams. As an old man, just before his death, this great patriot was asked to offer his thoughts on the 50th anniversary of glorious American freedom. He replied with the words, "Independence forever." It's a sentiment that burns in the heart of every patriot and every nation. Our hosts here in Vietnam have known this sentiment not just for 200 years, but for nearly 2,000 years. It was around 40 AD when two Vietnamese sisters, the Trung sisters, first awakened the spirit of the people of this land. It was then that, for the first time, the people of Vietnam stood for your independence and your pride. Today, the patriots and heroes of our histories hold the answers to the great questions of our future and our time. They remind us of who we are and what we are called to do. Together, we have it in our power to lift our people and our world to new heights, heights that have never been attained. So let us choose a future of patriotism, prosperity, and pride. Let us choose wealth and freedom over poverty and servitude. Let us choose a free and open Indo-Pacific. Finally, let us never forget The world has many places, many dreams, and many roads. But in all of the world, there is no place like home. And so, for family, for country, for freedom, for history, and for the glory of God, protect your home, defend your home, and love your home today and for all time. Thank you. God bless you. God bless the Pacific region. And God bless the United States of America. Thank you very much. Thank you.
What a remarkable speech. You know, I'm so glad the president was able to go on this five-country Asian tour. But he's talking to these nations and letting them know, look, things are going to be different. We are no longer going to put up with the abuses of the past. In fact, he says, not on his watch. Yeah. He goes, not with him. My predecessors may have tolerated these abuses, but I'm not going to tolerate them.
Yeah.
And I think that's important because one of the things that he campaigned on was that China was a currency manipulator. You have all of these you know, businesses in our country that are doing all this trade with, you know, all these other nations, but the United States, there's no fairness. You know, that means they're importing everything that we have. I mean, we're exporting it, but they're not taking anything of our stuff, basically.
Right.
You know, I'm sorry, the other way around. We're importing it, but they're not taking our goods, our services. And he's saying, listen, if you want us to buy your stuff, you're going to need to buy our stuff.
It's going to have to be fair. And I think what's powerful, too, is you're saying on this trip, and even as he's explaining the economies of, like, Singapore and Vietnam and Indonesia, it's like they have a significant presence in this region, and the businesses in these countries are remarkable. And I think what we're learning under the Trump administration, under his leadership, is just how important it is for a president to have this business mindset and to understand the fact that if you want to do business with America, it has to be fair and equal, where it's a win-win for both nations. And it's powerful that he's addressing, like you're saying, the trade deficits and saying it's bad of what has taken place in the past administrations, but it's going to end now, and it's going to have to be brought.
And he doesn't apologize for saying America first. Listen, I'm going to defend my nation. I'm going to broker the best deal, and you should do the same. And so I think with that type of a mindset and that type of agenda, I think you're going to see a lot of things changing. Mm-hmm. And I think our economy is only going to get better.
It's already shown it.
Oh, yeah. So I'm grateful for the president. I'm grateful for this tour. But listen, we're going to go to a break. When we get back from this break, he's going to be in the Philippines. We're going to join him in the Philippines as he's speaking to the ASEAN organizations, a bunch of member nations of in Asia, and he addresses them as well. But before we go to the break, I do want to talk to you about the special offer, Life Beyond the Storm. Listen, the boat may be damaged and destroyed, but you're going to make it. Jesus said, in this life, you will have tribulations, but cheer up because I've overcome the world. God wants to help you through the storm. You're never alone. He is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. Listen, we want to get this special offer to you for your partnership of any amount. Your gift, it's yours. Here are the details.
Offer 2043, Life Beyond Your Storm. You will survive, but the boat will not. We are either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or headed into a storm, one man said. Is this you? It's hard for all of us to see beyond the storms of life when we are in them. These are the times all we have is our faith to hold on to. Because in a storm, quite often there seems like there is no hope. But with God, there is always hope. In this life, we will have storms, as Jesus said. But even though we know this to be true, in the eye of our life's storms, clarity quite often becomes an abstract idea. Learn how we can understand how God will keep us when we or others have made decisions that has brought us into a storm, how we can have peace in the storm, and how even though it wasn't God's plan for us to be in the storm, He can still use us in the storm because the storms of your life don't disqualify you from ministry. They prepare you for ministry and increase your anointing. Finally, among many other great wisdom nuggets spoken about in this message, you'll learn even when your boat, such as relationships, jobs, ministries, houses, and other things do not survive, you will, and your anointing will increase. We want to send you this offer for a gift of any amount. Become a partner by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on Partner Now. or you can write to us at VFN TV, 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534, or call us at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2043, Life Beyond Your Storm. You will survive, but the boat will not.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I was speaking with a lady at my job. I work in the family court, domestic relations, and I was encouraging her with scripture because she was a little down and depressed about her situation. It was reported to the man that I work for, who is a judge. He spoke with me and said that I cannot do that in the court building because of the church and state issues.
Well, yeah, I hate to disagree with a judge, but, you know, oftentimes we do, and with all respect, the judge doesn't understand that when you go to work, your First Amendment rights go with you, and you can't be actively, quote, proselytizing, but you certainly, in a conversation with another employee, can have a discussion about your faith, or if she's facing a serious problem and needs some spiritual encouragement, you should be able to do that. But again, I point to the fact, who's going to decide your case? A federal judge, if it ever went to court somewhere. That's why we need the right judges to not be confused about church-state separation.
Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
The word today is affluence. Dan Klatt from Sedona, Arizona, who's a wealth advisor. No wonder, Dan, you want me to talk about affluence. You know, money's a wonderful thing. And I always value people like you, Dan, that come into people's lives and help them really maximize the financial benefits that they possibly have. But money, when you really think about it, I feel is only good for two things. And I think people really overestimate what money will do for them. And so, therefore, when they get it, they find out it won't do what they think it'll do. Now, I also understand, because I talk about it a lot, people who don't have money never believe what I say. So it's okay, because they always think there's more to it than what there really is. Money does two things for a person. One, it gives you options. People that have money, they have options in life. Every day, they can choose between several different options because they have the financial means to do so. People without money have the options reduced. It's a wonderful blessing. It's a wonderful benefit. Secondly, the value of money is the good that you can do with it. It's not the stuff you can do for yourself. I mean, how many cars can you drive? I can only drive one car at a time. Be honest with you, I never could drive two cars at a time. I have a couple cars, but I can't drive them both at the same time. Can't eat two meals at a time. You see, the value of money isn't so much what it does for me. It does give me options, but what I can do for other people. You see, I would suggest people of affluence become a river, not a reservoir. God will only give to you what he knows will flow through you.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in the studio is Steve Kalaszewski. Well, the President Trump, he's on that five-country Asian tour, and he's wrapping it all up as he goes to the Philippines. And this is so exciting because, you know, when he went to South Korea, it was the first time, Steve, that a U.S. president visited South Korea in 25 years. And when you think about what is happening in that region, in particular with North Korea and Kim Jong-un having nuclear weapons and constantly and consistently threatening our allies and our friends in the region, namely Japan and South Korea, and of course, he's threatening the United States. This is very important that the president go to this region. I mean, he's in his administration. He's already sent Vice President Mike Pence. He's already sent
Rex Tillerson, Secretary of State.
And Mad Dog Mattis, the Secretary of Defense. And so all of the top level people in this cabinet have already been to the region. And now the president is showing up. And now the president is showing up to the region. It's so important. Because North Korea is a very, very real and present danger. We have about 80,000 servicemen in the region. And so we want to make sure that they're safe and that this strategy is well thought out in terms of dealing with them. Right now, the president, we're going to join him at the summit where he's speaking to the ASEAN organization. It's an association of Southeast Asian nations. It's an intergovernmental organization, and he addresses them in the Philippines. Watch this.
Friends and partners, I'm honored to represent the United States of America at this U.S. ASEAN commemorative summit. We gather today at a time of great promise and great challenge. I speak to you on behalf of 350 million Americans with a message of friendship and partnership. I'm here to advance peace, to promote security, and to work with you to achieve a truly free and open Indo-Pacific, where we are proud and we have sovereign nations and we thrive and everybody wants to prosper. This year we mark 40 years of friendship and cooperation between the United States and this organization. It's a long time. I also want to congratulate ASEAN on 50 years of promoting peace and prosperity and stability in Southeast Asia and in the broader Indo-Pacific region. Rodrigo, I would like to commend you on your success as ASEAN chair at this very critical moment in time and in the association's history, such an important event. And I want to thank you for your incredible hospitality and the show last night, the talent at that show, I assume mostly from the Philippines, was fantastic. Thank you. And you were fantastic, also very much from the Philippines. We couldn't tell the difference. I send the people of the Philippines warm greetings from the people of the United States. I also want to thank Prime Minister Najib of Malaysia for the excellent job you've done as coordinator. And I appreciate it very much. I really appreciate it. You have coordinated so well with us. For five decades, this organization has brought together a vital assembly of nations to build consensus on critical issues facing the region and the world. You have created a forum for all nations with a stake in the Indo-Pacific to listen, learn, and develop solutions to common challenges through strategic dialogue. The United States remains committed to ASEAN's central role as a regional forum for total cooperation. This diplomatic partnership advances the security and prosperity of the American people and the people of all Indo-Pacific nations. In recent decades, nations across the regions have built strong societies, robust economies, and vibrant communities of citizens. Really proud. Totally proud, always, of their heritage and confident in who they are. Today we celebrate your incredible success, and we also seek economic partnerships on the basis of fairness and reciprocity. As the world knows, the United States, since our election on November 8th, has been moving ahead really brilliantly on an economic basis. We have the highest stock market we've ever had. We have the lowest unemployment in 17 years. The value of stocks has risen $5.5 trillion. And companies are moving into the United States. A lot of companies are moving. They're moving back. They want to be there. The enthusiasm levels are the highest ever recorded on the charts. So we're very happy about that, and we think that bodes very well for your region because of the relationship that we have. So we want our partners in the region to be strong, independent, and prosperous, in control of their own destinies, and satellites to no one. These are the principles behind our vision for a free and open Indo-Pacific. So again, I wish you all the best of luck. It's an honor to be here. And Rodrigo, thank you very much for the way you treated all of us. Thank you.
Amazing. That's President Trump at the ASEAN organization, which stands for Association of Southeast Asian Nations, Intergovernmental Organization. And you got countries like Thailand, Vietnam, Indonesia, Malaysia, the Philippines, Singapore. Myanmar, Burma, Cambodia, and lists. I mean, so this is pretty amazing. Here the president has pretty much covered the entire Pacific, and he's headed back home. Mm-hmm. And I'm so excited to see what's going to transpire as a result of this. This has been a remarkable trip. It's been covered really well in the media, which was pretty surprising. But we want to make sure that we're covering it, because a lot of these things that are happening with the president are not getting the press that, that is so necessary. And you need to be encouraged. You need to know that your vote counted. And no matter where you stand with the president, whether you voted for him or you didn't vote for him, he is your president now. Mm-hmm. And it only behooves you to stand with him.
Yes,
because,
and pray for him.
Yeah, and pray for him, because, you know, we want him to succeed. If he succeeds, we succeed. So would you close us out in prayer?
Yes. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for the grace that you've placed upon our president and our leader.
Yes.
Lord, we just ask you, God, for just wisdom in this hour, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, against this, for this entire situation with North Korea, Lord, and just this, just the nuclear tensions. And we just speak calmness. We just speak peace to this storm. And Father God, we just ask you, Lord, that you would end abortion, that you would send revival and send a third great awakening, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen, amen. God bless you, and thank you for watching.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget, you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
Taking VFN Radio and VFNTV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today.